joined here on News Talk 104.1 at 1600 WEJS by Dan Bongino. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, here in Williamsport, it's the Dan Bongino. First of all, welcome to Williamsport, and actually welcome back close to home, right?
Yeah, well, being a, you know, we are. I went to Penn State for my MBA, loved it. So got some loyalties to the area. And, you know, living in Maryland, we're not that far away. I mean, you go out to Western Maryland, you throw a rock in any direction, you know, you're in Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with the area.
Your career has been long and storied before you ever got into the broadcast side in law enforcement. Can you briefly walk folks through that law enforcement career, which was quite storied?
Yeah, I started with the NYPD. I was a police cadet, kind of an internship program, did that for a couple of years, then came on as a police officer, went to the 75 precinct in East New York, Brooklyn, which was fascinating. As a young man, you get kind of the willies out of the way quick, you know what I mean? And that area was kind of busy at the time. I wanted to go into the FBI. I was in graduate school at the time for neuropsychology, and I wanted to be a profiler. But I interviewed with the Secret Service, loved them. They liked me. They were really quick. I got hired in 6 months, spent 12 years with the Secret Service under three presidents, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, and then left to run for office and found myself doing political commentary. And gosh, in 2020, this is where we are. We find ourselves talking on this radio station about what I did over the last two decades. It's kind of interesting.
What was the Secret Service experience under three very distinct presidents like for you?
You know, I always tell people, it's like the closest thing to being famous without anybody having any idea who you are. It's the craziest experience. You're at, especially when we were with Clinton, you know, you're at these Hamptons parties with like Russell Simmons and this whole entertainment crowd, you know, and then Bush comes into office, who was, you know, a Texas guy, and he was, you know, connected obviously with a baseball experience and her experience at oil. So you're around all these like uber, you know, wealthy folks at fundraisers and things like that. And you go, gosh, this is some lifestyle these people live all the time. But the great part is it's not you, so you don't have to deal with any kind of the downside of fame. Nobody knows who you are, but you get a real taste for it. But it was great. I mean, you got to travel the world. I was a young guy. I got on when I was 23, 24 years old. You know, spent 12 years there. I traveled to something like 37 countries before my 32nd birthday. And, you know, they really force responsibility on you at a young age. When you're a Secret Service agent, you know, once you get on the president's detail and you're a lead advance, the president's life, I mean, I don't say this to be to exaggerate for effect, the president's life is in your hands. Like, when you're organizing that security operation overseas, it's yours. And if you screw up, that you own it too. So it really grows you up fast.
Visiting with Dan Bongino here on News Talk 104.1 at 1600 WEJS. One of the easiest things in my career was to add your new show to our relatively new show to our lineup of hosts. And your show's a little different than the quote unquote normal talk show. Could you walk everybody through how you transitioned from a storied law enforcement career protecting multiple presidents to now using a microphone and a camera every day?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, what's the mother of invention, right? Desperation. So I had run for office in Maryland, and I lost. We almost pulled off a huge upset for Congress. I was running against one of the wealthiest Democrats in a district he'd won by 20 points. And we won on election day in it, basically the upset for the eons. Unfortunately, on an absentee ballot recount, we wound up losing by a sliver on a recount about 4 days later. So for months, you know, you feel bad for yourself. And that's the worst thing you can ever do is never be a victim. And my wife and I said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, you know, I could go back into law enforcement. We could do various things. But I said, you know, I'm kind of bored on the weekend, so I'm going to do this podcast thing. Keep in mind, this is like 7 years ago or so, six, 7 years ago. And I had heard about podcasts, and I said, I think that could be interesting. And, you know, we got our first 100 downloads on the first weekend, and we thought, we really made it. We're like Thurston Howell, man. We're going to be 100 downloads. This is great. What a huge success. And then the show just, of course, you know, took off from there. Now it's a video program, it's a terrestrial radio program, and it's the second biggest digital conservative podcast in the country. behind only Ben Shapiro, who I believe is on your network too. So we're pretty much one and two now. And you know, the odd thing is we don't even really do any advertising. So we may start soon, but the show just kind of grew organically into a behemoth.
To say you're not a fan of the mainstream media in your show, is that an understatement of the year? Is that an understatement, Dan?
That may be understatement of the millennium, understatement of the cosmos. If you believe in like Einstein's string theory, that may be understatement of the many different universes that compose the many different universes. No, I can't stand them, but there's a reason though. It's not an act on my show. Nothing that happens on my show is, if you listen or watch my show on YouTube or listen on the radio station now, I believe 9P, right? You listen, you're going to find out that it's a genuine passion there. Nothing I do is for effect. And the reason is, I watch these guys as a Secret Service agent, and women. When you're new in the Secret Service, on the president's detail, not new as an agent, but you go to the president's detail when you've done about 8 years in the field, because they don't want, people don't know what they're doing around the president. The first job they give you is you're the press guy. And you have to run around with the press, and you're with them everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere, because you can't let them go on their own or else they have to be swept again for weapons and explosives. And I saw things. It's a family-friendly show, so I'll leave it. So what bothered me about what I saw is that these are the people supposedly telling us what the story is of the day. In other words, they're telling us what we need to know about economics, finance, national security. And I'm not kidding. Not all of them. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but many of them. I'm not kidding when I say this. They were some of the dumbest, most immoral people I have ever seen in my life. And you would, if you saw what I saw, you would never, ever look at a reporter the same way again. Not all of them. Some of them were very good and very upstanding people. But a lot of them were total degenerates. And when I ran for office, I saw it myself, because they would come after me with things I knew were false. You could see, you got me going. Huge mistake. The media. That's all you have to say. Next time we interview, just go, Dan, the media, go. That's it. And the interview will be an hour long. And when I ran for office, they would purposely mischaracterize what I said and leave out the context of quotes. And I just, my passion to call them out is just unbelievable, because I just want America to know you're being lied to almost all the time. And we produce the evidence on my show that what they're telling you most of the time is in fact false. I mean, think about one last thing. Sorry, I don't mean to go on, but they only blew the two biggest stories of our time, right? They told us the collusion hoax was real. That was false. And they told us the Spygate thing was fake, and it's true. I mean, and now we see them doing it again with this coronavirus. You know, when people pointed out it came from the lab in Wuhan, oh, you're a big conspiracy theorist. Now we're finding out, in fact, it may have come from the lab in Wuhan. They're just always wrong almost all the time.
Visiting with Dan Bongino. It's his show, 9 o'clock on weeknights here on Newstalk 104.1 at 1600 WEJS. Dan, I got to ask you, we're in some uncharted territory now with this, as you mentioned, the coronavirus, and we're living in a state here in Pennsylvania that's under some of the most strict stay-at-home orders in the country, non-essential business closures in the country, and if I'm not mistaken, as of today, the highest unemployment claims submitted to date in the nation. Having gone to Penn State, what's your immediate reaction to that so far?
Well, and listen, I'm saying this candidly. This has not really yet affected me. And my show runs on sponsors. Like, well, I've been okay. So I'm not saying this because, oh, Dan Bongino, look, listen to me. I will be okay. But my friends and my neighbors, and where I live down in Florida, my business owners I've known for years that I've lived down here, they won't be okay. They're being crushed. Having said that, if you're going to do the straw man argument, which some people do in the media, and they say, well, what do you want, people to die? Then just disconnect and turn off the radio now, because you're an idiot. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what I'm arguing. I'm simply suggesting that we live in a world of very serious risks. This is a very serious virus, especially for older people, and the immunocompromised, period, full stop. Having said that, Are you telling me with a straight face that our only option for dealing with this is to shut down the world economy and bankrupt upwards of 30% of America? Because if you're telling me that, we need new political leaders. And Wolf, and even believe me, this isn't a Democrat-Republican thing. We got Hogan in Maryland, who's a Republican. We got Whitmer in Michigan, another awful Democrat. Shutting down entire economies with no sensible explanation. Hey, you can't buy seeds to put a garden, but you can put your fingers all over produce and buy it. While you're bankrupting people and expecting them to believe that you're the sensible folks in charge is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This has to be a balance, a risk balance here. And I'll be honest with you, I see none of that. And we didn't even get into the whole Bill of Rights. I mean, they're acting like the Bill of Rights has a little appendix next to it. And the appendix says, but in the event of an infectious pathogen, none of this stuff matters. I don't know about you, but I never saw that appendix. I just read the Bill of Rights. I never saw the asterisk in there. So I'm really ashamed for these people.
Well, and what's happened here in Pennsylvania is there's a gentleman named Mark Scaringi, who's an attorney. He took the governor and the Secretary of Health to court into the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, asking them to use their King's Bench authority to overrule the governor to at least loosen up the restrictions. And the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ruled in favor of the governor and the Secretary of Health and cited the pandemic as they have these type of police powers, if you will, to control what's going on.
The states do, in our system of federalism, have limited police powers. Of course, those powers aren't unlimited. You know, we have habeas corpus, so all these things matter. But what was fascinating is on that note, right? Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, another Democrat, again, I don't even want to get partisan, doesn't matter. Just say governor of New Jersey for now. That's irrelevant. But he shows up on the Tucker Carlson show the other night, and Tucker Carlson on Fox says to him, well, listen, where have you acquired this power to arrest people who showed up at a synagogue to pray, which is what happened in New Jersey? And he says to him, you know, he says, where in the Bill of Rights did you read that? And the governor Murphy said something very telling, and I think you'd get the same answer from the court and that lawyer, and from, well, the lawyer who knows better, obviously, and the governor who doesn't know better. And they would say something to the effect of what Murphy said, where he said, the Bill of Rights, that's above my pay grade, which is one of the most asinine answers I've ever heard in the history of politics. It is not above your pay grade. You live in the United States of America. The states are, by the 10th Amendment, delegated all powers not enumerated to the federal government. But if you read the Constitution, which apparently some of these judges have not, it is a power to the people and a limited power to the government, and the Bill of Rights prescribes what the government can't do to you, and that seems to have been thrown out the window. And my fear here is, what are we going to do if we get another deadly flu? We're going to shut down people's businesses again instead of telling them to take precautionary measures and bankrupt everybody in America? I mean, it just gives basically unbridled power to people who definitely shouldn't have it.
Dan Bongino, in closing, where do we go from here? We're doing this on a Thursday. The president's about to come on to national radio, national TV at the top of the hour and give guidance now on how to reopen the economy we were just talking about. What are next steps, and where do you see us in a couple of weeks to a month with what he's about to tell us?
You know, Holman Jenkins at the Wall Street Journal is prescient on this. He wrote this article about 2 months ago. And he said, listen, we need kind of a three-tiered system here. We need a system for older folks, definitely at risk here, no question about it, and immunocompromised individuals. We need a system there where we can give them very serious advice that, listen, it is probably in your best interest now until we can find either an effective treatment, whether it's chloroquine, whether it's plasma, whether it's resmizivir, forgive me if I'm saying the name wrong, these antivirals. Until we can find that treatment, it's probably best you limit contact. For this middle group of people, the young and healthy folks, let's wash our hands, let's wear masks in public, let's social distance when we can, but we got to get back to work. And for younger folks, the kids who are at almost no risk, there is very little scientific evidence that children that younger kids are at risk of death. It's obviously serious. It's a sickness, should be treated seriously. But the evidence doesn't show that this is some major risk of death for them. We should handle it like we do everything else, like we do chickenpox, like we do with the flu. Come home, wash your hands, take care of your kids. If they get sick, keep them home. That's what we should have done, and that's not what we did. We gave a one-size-fits-all order in a country where one-size-fits-none. I mean, even in Pennsylvania, you're going to do what you did for Pittsburgh, the same thing you did for Philly? what you did for Lancaster? I mean, come on, for Williamsport? I mean, these are totally different areas with totally different dynamics and totally different populations. That's what we need to do.
I got to tell you, I've done interviews for a career for a long time, normally do sports play-by-play as well on the side. This has been one of the most insightful and entertaining interviews I've ever done, and we condensed it into basically 15 minutes. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, well, that's very nice of you to say that. I just have a lot of energy, and you asked all the right questions. Remember, I told you, next time just say media and just say go, and we'll do a half an hour, no problem. That is my flash point. You just lit a stick of dynamite. You didn't even know. So, yeah, we'll do it again.
Can we give the closing interview comment as like the cliffhanger for the next season? The next time Dan Bongino and Todd Bartley get together, media, Dan, go.
Media, that's it. And I have so many stories. Next time, just say media. So I could tell you stories out the fictional wazoo. Nobody knows where the wazoo is. But if there was a wazoo, I can give you stories out the wazoo about things that happened to me with the media, both in the Secret Service and as a candidate, which I'm telling you will bake your bagel. Your audience will not turn. They are so bad, they're almost unbelievable. But I assure you, they are all true, and they all really happened. And it'll explain on my show why I dedicate about 20 minutes of every show to filleting the fake news of the day.
Thank you so much, first, for your service to our country, and thank you so much for taking the time with us here on Newstalk 104.1 and 1600 WEJS.
Hey, thanks a lot. Look forward to the partnership. Thanks again.
It's Dan Bongino, everybody. Back after this.